Good morning. Well, this morning I'd like to introduce to you another one of our AFCO students. How many of you enjoyed the AFCO students coming by? Well, I think today will be no exception. I'm going to invite Jackie Esposo to come up, and she's going to share a message with you this morning. Jackie?
Good morning. I'm not a speaker. I'm actually not even supposed to be up here, I feel. My heart rate is going about 120 beats per minute, according to that clock. But I just ask that you pray for me as I try to give you a message from God's Word this morning. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for another day of life, for the air that we breathe, for the sun that is shining. And Lord, as we open up your word today, may your Holy Spirit be with us. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My name is Jackie Esposo, and I am a fourth generation Seventh-day Adventist. Do we have any fourth generations up in here? Wow, that's amazing. Praise God. I went to Fresno Adventist Academy. I was raised in the cool town of Clovis. And I attended all our schools, Pacific Union College, Andrews University, Columbia Union College. I did the whole Adventist circuit. Oh, and also Florida Hospital, finishing my degree in music performance and nursing. I was doing all the right things, or so I thought. On paper, you know, raised in a loving Filipino household, the oldest of three children, serving in my church as a youth leader, as a musician. Everything was good, but I realized that I was spiritually dead. Have you guys ever been there before? Where you're so busy doing the Lord's work that you forget who you're doing it for. During this time, as I was serving God, there was something that happened to me that was very, very traumatic, a very, very traumatic experience, and it changed my life forever. And as a result, I started making decisions that were detrimental to my future. Now, people didn't know what was going on because I kept up a good front. I, you know, put on a happy face. I kept singing in church, kept playing, kept sharing, but inside, it was like I was again, slowly dying. It got so bad that one day I was driving to the Golden Gate Bridge, intending to end my life, and the devil was whispering lies into my ear, saying, "You're worthless. You're a sinner. You're dirty. If people really knew who you are, they wouldn't love you anymore. Do you think they would love you? Do you think God loves you after all that you've done? You're a hypocrite." And you know, all these thoughts were ringing in my head, and I remember pulling over to the side of the Golden Gate Bridge, ready to jump off, and my sister calls me, and she calls and she goes, "Ate," which means older sister in my language. She goes, "Ate, where are you? We love you. We're praying for you. No matter what, we love you." And you know, that really did something to my heart. I was just overwhelmed that my sister could say that at that time that God impressed her to call me. And I was pondering on that if my sister and my family could love me so much, that much, how much more God? How much more God's love for us? Right? Amen? In Romans 8:38, it says that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've been through, no matter how dirty the sin, God's love and His blood covers us. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing love. I'm excited for that, you know? And I'm grateful, again, for His promises that His mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Whenever I share this with people, I always want to encourage parents, wherever I'm going, to keep praying for your children. Keep praying for your children, because you never know what they're going through. My parents didn't know what I was going through, but they kept praying for me, because again, I kept up a good front, right? But I believe that it was the prayers of my parents and my family that saved me. And I encourage you, don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your loved ones, because God still hears our prayers and he works miracles even to this day. And there's three things I learned at camp meeting last year. There was, I forgot the guy's name, but I know he was from Australia because he had an accent. But he said something that stuck with me and made an impression on my heart. He said, faith is not based on our feelings. Faith is not based on our circumstances, but faith is deeply rooted in the Word of God. And I'd just like to share with you some scripture this morning. Let's turn first to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And actually, if anybody has it out there, could you read it, please? Amen. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I'm excited about that, because aren't you excited about that? Aren't we excited about the Word of God this morning? Yes. That we're sinners, yet Christ came to save me, to save each and every one of you here. He covered us and he demonstrated his love by sending his son to die on the cross to save us from our sins. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. If you have a pen and paper, I'd like you to write these 4 points down. Just want to share some 4 quick points with you all. Number one, love is not optional. What does 1 John 3, 11 say? Can anybody read it, please? That we should love one another, right? We are commanded to love one another, right? Number two, love is demonstrative. 1 John 3, 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Let's jump to chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So our love for God is shown to the degree we show love to others. Before I go on my last 2 points, I want to just share a story about my grandmother. Two quick stories. My grandma is 93 years old. She's the matriarch of our family. And she supported 7 kids by being a colporteur in the Philippines. She would go door to door canvassing, and she always tells us we don't know what hard work is. But she loves her family very much. There was a story back in the Philippines during World War II where, the Japanese were taking over, and her family was very persecuted. They were persecuted by the Japanese soldiers. It got so bad, in fact, that her brother-in-law was killed. One day, she was gathering rice for her family, bringing it back to the village. And she saw some bomber planes flying over her. And she saw that was heading to her village. And she started running, and she started praying, "Lord, Lord, please save my family, save my family. They're not ready yet, Father. They're not ready. Please save them." And she was running, just praying for God to save them, when God impressed on her to get a piece of cloth and start waving it to the airplanes. And you know what happened? Those bomber planes turned around. They turned right around. They were ready to bomb my grandmother's village, and they turned around. And she was sharing with us this story, saying that, you know, God is so good. God saved our family, and God loves us so much. She would always tell us, God loves us so much that she saved our family. And we have a job, and we have a mission and a purpose in this life to share God's love with others. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? My grandmother, oh, she's my hero. Another story. I broke my wrist 2 years ago now from a door gym. Do you guys know what a door gym is? It's basically a pull-up bar that you put like on top of a doorway, and then you do pull-ups. Well, I saw it hanging from my brother's room, and I decided I should try this, even though I've never done a pull-up in my life. So I stood on a stool, and I said, okay, here we go. I'm going to do it. I'll be like She-Man, you know? And I started, and then the stool buckled, and I fell. And I tried to brace my fall, but it was bad. So I broke my wrist in four places, right? It was like the size of an orange. I broke my wrist. They had to put a plate and five pins. But that's not the end of the story. When I broke my wrist, my grandmother was the only one with me at home. And like I said, she'll be 93 this year. And I was shouting. I said, "Grandma, call 911. Please get my cell phone." And I know, you know, my grandma loves me. She's always taking care of me. And she goes, "Wait, what's a cell phone?" And she was frantic, right? She said, I don't know what the cell phone is. So I said, "Grandma, please just get my cell phone. It's in my room." And she's frantic, and she's looking around, and she says, "Wait, I have to go to the bathroom first." So my grandma, she steps over me to go to the bathroom, uses the restroom, then comes back and says, "Are you okay?" And then she goes to my room and tries to find my cell phone, and then comes back, right? She said, "I'm so worried. Are you okay? I will pray for you." Okay, grandma. You know, that's love right there. So she finally got my cell phone, and then I called 911. And she said, "I'm praying for you. Just please be safe. Please be safe. But I'm praying for you. I love you." And you know what? It was humorous at the moment, even though my body was going into shock from all the pain. I was just thinking, after I was reflecting on it, that my grandma still loved me regardless of everything that happened, you know? Point number three, love is active, an act of the will. 1 John 3, verse 17. "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" If we see a brother who is hurting, or a sister who is hurting, or we see someone in need, say here in the workplace, if you see one of your colleagues, you know, with a downcast expression, or they don't look cheerful or chipper at the moment, go talk to them, pray with them, share a thought from Scripture. You never know what people are going through. You never know. And we need to be our brother's keeper, right? And demonstrate that love. Love is an act of will. And for the last point, love is responsive. 1 John 4, verse 19. "We love him because he first loved us." We are able to love because we have been and are loved by God. This love causes us to respond lovingly to others. I'm looking at the time, Eric. Is this, I'm sorry. Okay. When I think of the Savior and how much He has done for my life and for each of our lives here, it causes me to want to share with others. You know the story of the Golden Gate Bridge? I am so thankful that God is a God of restoration and that His love for me is so great. After that incident happened and a couple other incidents happened, I felt like my life was just going downhill, right? But God assured me through His word that He had a greater plan for me. And Jeremiah doesn't say that God knows the plans He has for us, so we can then trust Him with our future. After that incident happened, after this happened, I met a wonderful couple by the name of Evangelist Taj Pakleb and his wife Wati. And they came at a time in my life where I really needed them the most. And they invited me to go to El Salvador. So I thought, oh, you know, they need me to play the piano or sing or something. But no, they asked me to preach. And I said, huh, well, this is interesting. That's stepping out of my comfort zone. But they asked me to preach, you know, with Share Him, 27 sermons. And I remember thinking, what have I gotten myself into? And this was right after my surgery. So I flew there to El Salvador, and the first sermon I had to preach was about 2,300 days. And I had no idea what I was saying, and I was thankful people didn't really understand me, because I'm sure I butchered it really bad. And God forgive me. But it was amazing, because through that experience, I learned so much more about the Bible. And from that point, from being in El Salvador, it's been 9 countries that I've been to. Since that point, God had a greater plan for me. He put people in my life. You know, even I was just thinking, if I jumped off that bridge, that would be it. I wouldn't be saved, because I was selfish in thinking that I could just end my life. But yes, it's been 9 countries. I've been traveling all over the world, spreading the message of God's love to our brothers and sisters all around the world. And He's been working miracle after miracle to show that His presence is evidence in our life. And I'm just amazed and thankful that God is so good. There's a song, if you have your hymnals. Let's turn to the song, The Wonder of It All. And it is number... What number is it? Number 75. Before we sing this song, I just want to leave this thought with you. If you have a burden in your hearts for your family, or your loved ones, your sisters, your brothers, your kids, your parents, give them a call today. Give them a call. Tell them you love them. Tell them that God loves them. And just share the love that God has with them. Because you never know what life may bring. It's my birthday in a couple weeks, and last year I was in the Philippines for my birthday, and at my birthday party, my cousin came into the party, and then he saw me, gives me a kiss on the cheek, and he then suddenly crumpled to the floor. His face was ashen, his color turned, and he started foaming at the mouth. He started having a heart attack. And in the Philippines, it's hard to call 911 because, you know, with everything going on over there, it's not ideal to have a crisis or a dilemma. So My brother, who was with me, he's also a nurse. He did CPR on him for 45 minutes. But then my cousin passed. And I was just thinking, you know, life is so short. Life is so short. But I'm thankful and I'm grateful that because of God's love, I will be able to see my cousin again one day. Amen. And I just encourage you again, tell your family members that you love them. The mission begins in the home, amen? You know, we could do all this evangelizing to other people in other countries, but if we don't have that love of God in our homes, then it's all in vain. That should be our number one priority first, is in the home. So, message is really simple. God loves us. We need to love one another and show that to others. So let's sing this song, The Wonder of It All. And can we all stand? There's the wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder of sunrise I see. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. There's the wonder of springtime and harvest, the sky, the stars, the sun. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is a wonder that's only begun. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your love. We are just amazed by the depth of your love, that while we were yet sinners, you came and died for us so that we can be with you in heaven someday. So Lord, let us share that love with others as we go throughout the day. And remember, Lord, that to put you first in our lives, because you know us the best, yet you love us the most. And we are so thankful for that, Father. Please forgive our sins that we have committed. And Father, we just thank you for always loving us and for never giving up on us. In all these things I ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jackie. Do we have prayer requests on the chairs? Time? All right. I guess... We'll pray, take them with you, pray for them at your desks, and God bless you. Have a wonderful day.